from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum in our opening hour this morning, we'll analyze last night's gubernatorial debate between Governor Jerry Brown and Republican challenger Neel Kashkari. Kashkari trails the longtime incumbent in the polls, and we'll talk with KQED's John Myers, who moderated the debate, and hear your thoughts on it. Then at 9:30, NPR's new president and CEO, Yarol Mohn, will join us in the studio to discuss his vision of NPR's future and answer your questions. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. Last night, the only gubernatorial debate between incumbent Governor Jerry Brown, who is seeking an unprecedented fourth term as governor, and his challenger, former U.S. Treasury Secretary Neel Kashkari, took place in the studios of the California Channel in Sacramento, with our own John Myers moderating. In this opening segment of Forum, we want to discuss the debate and, of course, hear what you, our listeners, have to ask or say about it. And if you heard the debate or saw the debate, you may want to add your comments. In fact, you can do that by calling us. Our toll-free number is available to you right now. It's 866-733-6786, or you can email us, forum@kqed.org, or post any questions or comments you have about the debate onto our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on this segment. And the race for governor, as it was called last night, debate was sponsored by KQED in partnership with the California Channel and the LA Times and Telemundo 52. And as I said, it was moderated by KQED senior editor, politics and government desk, John Myers, who joins us from Sacramento. John, good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Well, I must tell you that I came away with a lot of different impressions, as I'm sure you did, but I kept thinking Jerry Brown was on script talking about the economy and the budget and the jobs and the surplus and how bad things were 4 years ago. And Kashkari was very challenging in saying there really hasn't been a comeback and saying we ordinary folks, particularly the middle class, have been left out of this. He kept emphasizing schools and water and all these kinds of things. I guess it comes down to the messages were pretty clear. They were abundantly clear. But who scored points, really?
Well, you know, I think with so many debates and the problem, of course, is that, you know, debates sometimes can be pivotal in a race. And then sometimes they really just kind of go away. And I do think this one was very early in the campaign season. And, you know, we'll see in the next few days how much Kashkari can make of it. But clearly, the challenger had to come in and score a few hits or land a few punches, whatever the proper, you know, way that we look at debates is. I think he got a few. I mean, I think he got his point across. I think he was on message. I think, you know, he got the governor's attention. I noticed just sitting a few feet away from him that the governor started out very much on a script that he wanted to talk about that was largely ignoring Mr. Kashkari. And got drawn in to a pretty nasty back and forth a few times with it. And so I think the Kashkari campaign probably has to feel good about that. But did he score something that is going to change this race fundamentally? It's hard to see it. I think the governor survived all of that. I think the governor tried to explain. And I think probably the key thing for me, Michael, is that the Kashkari campaign has been premised on lately this notion that the governor is not telling the truth about California, that the governor says California is back and that California really isn't back. And he points to a lot of statistics that shows the state, parts of the state, are still struggling. And the governor tried to make the case, and I think this will be the real question going forward, that he is working on it, that it is a work in progress. I think, unfortunately, the governor used this term incrementalism, and I think that maybe is a little too minimal for campaigns where you want to say more about it. But I think that's the question forward, is the state on the right track to recovery, or do we need to do something fundamentally different? And Kashkari thinks it needs to be much different. And Brown, of course, is going to tell voters over the next 8 weeks, stay the course.
Well, I remember Mark DiCamillo right before of Field Research, right before this debate took place, said that Kashkari needed something major in the way of a new element. He needed some kind of headline or a faux pas. And he did. He hit on a couple of things that really sort of aroused my interest. And one of them was, and some people think he may have even crossed the line on this, when they were talking about funding for schools. And let's actually hear a cut from this. This is cut number three, Danny.
Nine kids sued Governor Brown
and said that their civil rights, as guaranteed by the California Constitution, are being violated by our failing schools. You had a choice between fighting for the civil rights of poor kids and fighting for the union bosses who funded your campaigns. You sided with the union bosses. You should be ashamed of yourself, Governor. I'm going to fight for the kids. I want you to know that.
That makes no sense at all. That is so false.
It's absolutely true. Gentlemen.
There you are, John, trying to be the equitable, reasonable voice. But that certainly stirred up a lot. And like I said, some people felt that maybe Kashkari crossed over a line there. Nevertheless, he certainly aroused Governor Brown's ire and made that front and center.
Yeah, I don't know where the line is anymore in political debates. I mean, you know, maybe traditionally it would have been, but you know, the rhetoric gets ramped up, and I think a challenger like that comes in with a goal of trying to get under the incumbent's skin, and clearly he did that. And I don't know whether it was intentional or not, but there's an homage almost in Mr. Kashkari's "You Ought to Be Ashamed of Yourself" maybe to Bill Clinton, to Jerry Brown in the race for president in 1992, where he said, "You ought to be ashamed of yourself of, you know, going after my wife." And I mean, you know, and again, it's all Jerry DeBrown.
Forgive me, John,
debated.
We could go before that when they were talking about Joe McCarthy should be ashamed.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. But the Brown reference there, of course, Michael. But yeah, I mean, you know, Kashkari was looking for an angle. The question there was about the Vergara case and about teacher tenure and about the unequal treatment of some students that's alleged in this lawsuit that the judge ruled in favor of the plaintiffs. And the governor is appealing. And the governor tried to make the distinction. I think it's a tough one in the world of politics that it's a legal issue at this point. He agrees that there are problems, but the voters aren't going to hear that way. And I think in that exchange, I think probably Kashkari got the best of it.
Well, Kashkari also kept talking about class in different ways, pointing out that he didn't come from a rich and powerful family like Jerry Brown. He tried to bring that into the mix. And what actually interested me in that particularly was he kept talking about the middle class as if he was championing the middle class. And at one point, when you brought up the crazy train, that's what Kashkari calls the bullet train, Jerry Brown said, well, I'm familiar with the gravy train when you were in D.C.
Right.
In fact, I want to just hear that cut because I thought Brown landed, I guess, if you're looking at a pugilistic metaphor here, a pretty good punch with that. And this is number seven. Oh, excuse me. Where are we on this? I want to get the right cut here, John. Excuse me for a minute. I thought I had that cut here. Maybe I don't. But anyway, this was after all the talk about the middle class and about TARP assets and how that figured into Kashkari's history and so forth. But Brown came back and said those bonuses hurt the middle class, and I thought scored a very important point there.
Yeah, I think so. Did you want to play that or should you? I mean,
I'd love to play it for listeners. I think we're hunting for it.
Many of them are in crisis today. 24% poverty. Governor Brown doesn't like to talk about it, but 24% poverty today. Let me tell you, those families are in crisis, and I'm running for governor to fight for them.
Mr. Brown, 30 seconds, please.
Yeah, well, I've seen nothing, not a shred in his program that's going to help poor people. Quite the opposite.
Jobs,
it
really, Governor.
It follows from your bonuses to your buddies at Goldman Sachs.
There it is. You're rich in a powerful family versus you and Goldman Sachs and all that money from D.C. Yeah.
And again, in politics, so much it becomes this framing debate. You know, how can you frame for the voters who your challenger is and who they ally themselves with and what they believe? You notice in this debate, too, something that I found interesting, Michael. Neil Kashkari kept often referring to himself as, "I'm an aerospace engineer." Now, people may not be familiar with that part of his resume, but he did do some aerospace engineering before he went back to business school and then, of course, worked at Goldman Sachs and the U.S. Treasury and at PIMCO. Of course, an aerospace engineer is much more appealing these days, right, than a Wall Street banker. And the governor wanted to talk about him being a Wall Street banker at Goldman Sachs. Of course, the governor's sister, Kathleen Brown, also has worked at Goldman Sachs, but that's beside the point. But the framing of who is on the side of people, and again, the child of privilege is the child of a governor, the child of immigrants. Again, all about the framing of who you are and who you ally yourselves with. I think both guys maybe got a little bit out of that, but I don't think that fundamentally changes the race at this point.
Well, I think we ought to emphasize, we'll get bring our callers into this, that there were some real substantive issues that were taken up, and we had, you know, the representation of really completely different antithetical positions. And I'm talking particularly about what has become a real volatile issue, and that is how to respond to young people who are coming from Central America as refugees, and the whole question of how open the borders are. Kashkari pointed out that both President Obama and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton have said, how can we think of sustainability if we let so many of these young people in? And Governor Brown, you know, sort of defended his own turf here, which is that we have to show compassion and all of that sort of thing. That was really divided.
It was. And I think, too, you know, one of the goals that we had, myself and my fellow journalists on the panel, is we did want Mr. Kashkari to explain a comment he made recently where he said we need to send a message by sending these unaccompanied minors who have come across the border. We need to send a message by sending them home. And we wanted to know who are we sending the message to? And while he sort of answered it, what I think you got there was a sense that Neil Kashkari, like so many challengers, believes that the governor of California has a tremendous amount of power to shape the national debate, international debates, and also to set the complete tone of what happens in the state capital in Sacramento. Now, some governors have been better than others at that. But I think Brown is much more of a pragmatist on that end and believes that there are limits to his power. And I think you saw that really in sharp focus there, where Brown says we're doing what we can to deal with the situation. These are children, human beings. Kashkari says, you know, you as governor need to go influence the national debate. Well, you know, that's kind of challenging when we know what's coming out of Washington right now. But very, very different approaches to what being governor means. And I think that was indicative of it, and actually a couple of other issues in the debate.
Well, there was a big separation in terms of the loss of Tesla to the state of Nevada. I mean, just in terms of how they interpreted it. So, I mean, there were, as I say, substantive issues, that, including, whether plastic bags ought to be outlawed or not, all of those kinds of things.
But, yeah. Michael, if I can, that's another example, though, too, where Neil Kashkari says, I can't believe all these things that the legislature's doing. They're not going to do that if I'm governor. Well, that's very similar to an infamous line uttered by Gray Davis when he took office in 1999, that the legislature is there to, quote, implement my vision. He found out very quickly that the legislature, as a co-equal branch of government, would do whatever they wanted to do and could thwart him at any time. And Kashkari, like his predecessor in the Republican race 4 years ago, Meg Whitman, believes that the governor has more control over the legislature than Jerry Brown does. The governor, Brown, has said to me in an interview a couple of years ago that he does try to believe in comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y, in comity in government, and that he has to get along. He has to find the places he can work with them. And so he signed some of the bills that maybe he thinks aren't the biggest priorities, but it's a working relationship that Brown has spent a lot of time with in this 4 years. And Kashkari believes in a very powerful executive model that doesn't always work. And so I think that was part of what you saw there in the plastic bag thing. You know, how dare you even get involved in this, governor? And Brown's response is, well, you know, there's a reason.
There may be a low turnout in this race, which could certainly help Kashkari, but it strikes me that he doesn't have much cash. I mean, you know, compared to Meg Whitman, whom you mentioned a moment ago, her coffers were really chock full of money.
$175 million.
Right, and a lot of that was her personal fortune. I think Kashkari is not has deep pockets personally, but he's not going there.
Right, exactly. And you know, money often translates into momentum, whether people like it or not in politics. He doesn't have the money to put on statewide television ads. This was his best chance at visibility, even if it is 2 months before Election Day, his best chance at visibility around the state of California to introduce himself to voters. And when you see the field poll yesterday, Michael, of course, Kashkari is behind by 16 points. But there were a very large number of people who have no opinion of him. And so what opinion will they have now or over the next few weeks? I wouldn't be surprised if you see Brown wade into the television ad world at some point and try to, again, frame the position, the image of Neil Kashkari, and Kashkari would have no money to respond.
Well, Kashkari has shown inventiveness. I mean, living with the homeless, I mean, this is the sort of thing that does get a lot of attention. It, I guess, boils down to how much he can sustain those kinds of things.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, he's got to have the right gimmick. He's got to find the right way into it. He got a lot of attention, national attention, over the video of posing to be homeless in Fresno. But again, these are tough things to sustain. And I think now the question is, what does Brown do? I suspect that Jerry Brown, goes back into stealth mode. He looks at bills and signs and vetoes for the next month. He does a few campaign events, and he really doesn't engage for a while here. And that's going to be tough because I think he wants to, you know, take all the oxygen out of Neel Kashkari's attempt to either win this race or place well.
We're talking with John Myers, who is senior editor of KQED's Politics and Government Desk. And let's find out what your thoughts are about last night's gubernatorial debate. We'll go first to Elliot. Good morning, Elliot.
Good morning. How is everybody in the studio this morning?
We're doing fine. How are you?
Good morning.
Good. Well, first of all, Mr. Myers, I would like to say I thought you did a great job moderating that debate. It got pretty heated. But I would actually like to bring a true debater's perspective. I'm in high school. I do parliamentary debate. And I have to admit, you know, as a 15-year-old, I think it is really sad when you see these two men really going back and relying on personally attacking each other. And I think in my eyes, it kind of becomes, I would say, incredibly sad, and it really doesn't further each candidate in my eyes. And, Mr. Myers, I was wondering, you know, how do you handle that kind of, you know, as a moderator, how do you handle when somebody is personally attacking another candidate?
It's a good question, and it's hard. And I commend you for you know, the actual real art of debating and learning about it in school there, because political debates are not the real actual art of debating. They don't follow the same guidelines, rules, and norms, and I think that's kind of what you're getting at there. You know, it's tough because I did find myself several times last night really trying to figure out when to let them present themselves and when to rein it back in. And you know, and I suspect people will think I should have reined them in more sometimes, or I should have let them go. I think it's instructive for the audience to see and hear them who they are, and to not try to frame them myself as the moderator or us as the journalist very much. If they're going to engage in that, the public should know it. I mean, we're picking one of these people to lead the state. At the same time, at a certain point, when it becomes you've gotten that glimpse and there's nothing else to be gleaned from it, then I want to move on. And I think there was at one point there, at one of the questions last night, I remember saying something like, I know we're not going to solve this. We all know that. So let's just keep going here, because you're not offering any new insight. I think that stuff offers insight to voters. It's a glimpse at their personality, but it is not true debating. And, you know, I think smart people have thought about how we collectively, largely as a country, we rethink what political debates are. And I welcome that discussion. I don't think they're perfect by any means.
Well, I thank you, Elliot, for the call and for bringing that up. I appreciate your joining us. I've seen a lot more contentious debates, though, on the political world than last night's, even though it did get contentious. Let me get another caller on here. David, that's you. Hi. Join us.
Hi. I was calling because I really think I agree with Elliot, and I would like to know, what are these both candidates doing for our youth? In addition to that, debates aren't really about policy. It's about who can respond faster within 90 seconds and who's the most clever of the two. We really do need, as Californians, we're all paying into this system. We're all here for the long run. And we really do need our governor to come out and do at least one more debate. It's 2 months in advance of the elections or more. What is it that they don't want us to see from the governor's office?
It's you raise a great question, and I want to be, you know, perfectly clear. You know, I think in my position as moderator and as my position as, you know, representing the news organization you're listening to, KQED, I don't believe any of us ever thought that there should only be one debate. We certainly agree with that. And I think last night you heard me say at the end, why not more debates, Governor? And he clearly, you know.
Well, he said you can just keep running this one over and over again because it shows how distinct our points of view are and how we don't how we differ. And I think, you know, he's got a point. But Kashkari originally asked for what, 11 debates?
Ten, because that's what Brown had suggested to Meg Whitman 4 years ago. But anyway, I think it would be valuable to have him do it again. And I do think that, you know, back to the previous caller and to this caller's point kind of as well. You know, there are big issues facing California, and if candidates would agree to sit down and have longer discussions about those, but the candidates in their campaigns are very insistent about format and tightness. And, you know, we are faced with a choice as the organizers of these things. We can do no debate, or we can offer a glimpse. And so I tend to think of these events, and I would encourage people, as an initial glimpse into the race. But yes, they need to engage much deeper on education issues, on healthcare issues, on environmental issues. They need to do that. And, you know, as a reporter, I'll kind of track them the next couple of months, and we'll see if we can't get them to engage a little bit more in different venues.
Was it surprising to you, John, that not much came up about environmental issues? In fact, I can't think of anything that came up related to the environment.
Well, the one thing that did is I asked Governor Brown about the climate change law, the 2006 law in California, and the fact that that law will include the production of gas and fuels next year, and that even his own, and he took issue with it, but he can't take issue with what the documents say. His own Air Resources Board in California believes it will increase the price of gas. How much more a gallon is somewhat debated, a few pennies up to 10 cents. One estimate is much higher than that. But I, you know, the point being, how do you defend that to people? What do you do? He wanted back to the broader issue of climate change and what we needed to do it. And that's reasonable. But, you know, sometimes people do vote and move with their pocketbooks. And if you look at the polling in California, people support our efforts on climate change. But when you start telling them it's going to cost them something, they get leery of those things. And I do think the governor should engage with that. There's some honesty there that he probably should have. If he thinks people have to, you know, tough it up and take it, then maybe he should tell them that.
Also occurred to me that Kashkari might have been able to score some points by bringing up fracking. Governor Brown's vulnerable on that to some degree because he's for it, at least at this point he's for it, or at least exploring it as further use.
Yeah, they both agree that they're okay with fracking now. Of course, it's a bit of a nuance because Brown has said, I'm not going to support a moratorium while we try to regulate it better and learn about it. Neil Kashkari, as far as I can tell, says there's no problem with it. We should do a lot more of it. We should go after the Monterey Shale, which may or may not be doable, that underground formation that they think they could get to with fracking of oil deposits. So clearly, Kashkari is very much a pro-fracking candidate. Brown is a, and again, forgive me to the opponents of fracking, they're going to disagree with me, but he's a sort of for it fracking candidate.
Yeah.
And so there's a distinction, but it's not black and white.
And let me go to Oakland and welcome Chris to the program. Chris, you're on the air. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. I listen to Forum every day, and I listen to John's podcasts almost every week. So I'm very pleased that you guys are there.
Thank you.
I've got a criticism about the format, and I understand it was set by the campaigns. But
That's not true.
Well, okay. I still have a problem with the format.
Okay.
With such short answers, if you go to Neil Kashkari's website, his economic answer is, once you dig down, the typical Republican answer of give more money to the rich, give more, don't tax corporations, and somehow that'll trickle down. And if we destroy all the unions, boy, won't that be wonderful. And it seems to me somebody, Brown, could have brought that out. Brown could have brought out that TARP was a tiny down payment on the $23 trillion that the Fed has now given the banks and the relationship between the Fed and Goldman Sachs.
Chris, let me get a response from John because we're coming up on our break.
I wish the governor had kind of taken the TARP issue a little bit differently. And I will say, I think you raise a good point about the content and the speed at which we go through those things. They didn't demand a particular format, but they want question and answer formats. And I really do think it's incumbent on voters to take what happened last night as a first step and to dig deeper. And we've got to dig deeper as reporters. So I'm with you. We got to do more, and we will do more.
And let me thank Chris for the call. And John, thank you for being with us. Good job last night. Appreciate your work as ever.
Thanks, Michael.
When we return, we're going to meet the new head of National Public Radio. Stay tuned. I'm Michael Krasny.